Blog Talk Radio.
Hello, can y'all hear me?
Yeah.
Oh, okay. Oh, they not. We're not doing the Evangelist Stanton. Your commercial don't come on no more.
I guess not.
I'm
sorry, Pastor.
Technical difficulties with the commercial. So it's more will come on, but we just go ahead and get started. Go ahead, Pastor.
Oh, okay. Okay. All right. All right. See, that's what happened when you keep, you know, when you, God said, touch not my anointed. He was talking about the Falcons, you know, so now the Holy Ghost is messing up your system, but I'll leave that for later on. God bless all of you tonight. Amen. We're so grateful to be back Tuesday night Bible study here at church. We've been cutting up for the last few minutes. Elder Oliver and Elder Taylor has been picking on the Atlanta Falcons and things like that. So the only ones really saved on here tonight anyway, I think, is me and Evangelist Stanton. And I know my wife is, if she's tuning in. We both are at separate baseball practice and games tonight. So, but we thank y'all so much for tuning in here at Praise Tabernacle Church. We are physically located at 877 North Clayton Street in the city of Lawrenceville, Georgia, 30046. And we're just so grateful to be in your home, on your phone, in your living room, wherever, in your office, wherever it is that you are tuning in on tonight. And as always, we're grateful to God for Elder Oliver and his wife, his family, for presenting this opportunity to us to be able to reach souls all over this country. And we're so grateful to God. And we'll probably have another announcement later on, maybe towards the end of the Bible study, of another great, great opportunity that God is awarding us here at Praise Tabernacle Church to be able to literally be across the world and reach up the country. So stay tuned. You'll hear a little bit more about that probably at the end of our Bible study on tonight. So we're going to say a quick prayer, and then we're going to turn it over to our leader for tonight. That'll be in the person of Elder Richard Lee Taylor. Amen. We thank for him. But our team's here. We're grateful to our Father Jesus. We thank you for allowing us this opportunity to teach the gospel of Jesus Christ. No, according to your word, we ought to hide your word in our hearts. We might not sing you. And we just thank you. We pray that you will, the word, the leader for tonight, him needs to be sent for your people. Of course, we cannot see every soul that person, but we trust the Holy Ghost to reach every person tuned on tonight. And God, thank you. We pray for you. In Jesus' name, amen. Elder Taylor, services in your hands.
All right. Thank you, sir. Thank you, Pastor. I don't know if we're having technical difficulty or not, because I think you kind of cut in and out. Elder Oliver, are we okay?
Yeah, everybody.
I hear you good.
I'm sorry. Everybody.
Okay. I hear you good, Elder.
Yeah,
okay.
We hear everybody right.
Good. All right, good. All right, well, I'm glad to be back on tonight. I missed the last couple of Tuesdays being out with football practice and stuff, but I'm glad to be on back on with Pastor, the Elder Oliver, and Evangelist Stanton. I'm not sure if Elder Bluett will be on maybe a little later or not, but I'm just glad to be back. I thank God, give God all the glory and honor for keeping us. We went out of town, came back over the weekend, and I'm just grateful to be back and able to share a little word with you tonight. And God kind of gave me, the Lord kind of gave me this word a couple of weeks ago about dealing with people with the form of godliness. And so that's what we want to talk about tonight. And we want to talk about, you know, the scriptures that we're going to go into is over in 2 Timothy starting in with the third chapter. And this is a story, this is a letter, I should say, that Paul, just to give us a little background, a little backdrop on what's going on. And this is a very familiar scripture for those that read the Bible, those that study the Bible. You know, we got people that study it, and then those that may not read it as much. This is simple, it's easy to follow. But this is a letter that that Paul had wrote to Timothy, and he wrote a few letters to him, and so he's writing a letter, and he's explaining to him to be aware of people that will come into and around him, and even into the church that have a form of godliness, and we're gonna read that in a few minutes, but denying the power thereof, and as such, turn away. So what we want to talk about, people, you may know somebody, anybody that's listening out there, you know, my brothers and sisters that may be listening all over the country, or wherever you may be listening from, you may know somebody. And your Holy Ghost don't agree with them, but they have a form of godliness. They look the part, and they can talk the part, and they can act the part. But it's one thing they cannot be without the power, and they cannot be the part. And so that's what we want to go into and talk about. I want to read a little note here in my Bible before we get into the scriptures. And it reads, it says that, you know, Paul anticipates a time of growing apostasy. And apostasy is the abandonment or renunciation of a religious belief. So he felt like this was coming. This was going to come to pass. And Timothy had to be aware of this. Apostasy. That's when you abandon a religious or renounce a religious belief. All right? So Paul anticipates a time of growing apostasy and wickedness when men and women will be increasingly susceptible to empty religiosity and false teaching. Arrogance and godliness will breed further deception and persecution. But Timothy must now waver in using the scripture to combat doctrinal error and moral evil. And that's what this chapter is about. You know, Paul is telling him, you have to use the word. You have to use what I've chosen. You have to use what I've taught you to fight against the enemy and everything that the enemy may come like an angel of light, but it has no power. It may come and it may look like it's a pastor. It may come and look like it's an elder. It may come and look like an evangelist or a deacon or just a regular brother or sister. It may come and look like something that is not. And the one way that we can tell is by discerning it, because the power of the Holy Ghost gives us the ability to discern. Not only what's discerned what's wrong, but what's almost right. Because the enemy will play with us with half-truths. So we have to understand is that we have to know the difference between what is true and what is almost true. See, and so if we, because you can tell easily when something is wrong, but can we tell when something is almost wrong? Can we tell, because if it's almost wrong, or if it's almost right, I should say, if it's almost right, then it's wrong, because it's not completely right. And that's what Paul is trying to get, wants Timothy to understand, is that you have to use what he taught him and what he showed him, what to fight against and how to fight against it. So we're going to go in chapter 3, 2 Timothy, chapter 3. And for those that have your Bibles, we're going to get right into it. We ain't going to be on here long, but we're going to get right to it and let the Lord have his way. Verse 1. This know also, that in the last days, perilous times shall come. And that's how he starts the letter. That's how he starts the chapter off. He's going to let him know that in the last days, when is the last day? When is the last day? Mm. I believe the last day The last days started when Jesus went back up into the heavens. When
yep,
he ascended back
good.
Up, I believe that's when the last days started. So it's been
good.
The last days for a little while now. But he said in the last days, you know, he didn't put a time frame on it, but I believe that that's when Jesus went back up into the heavens, that was the beginning of the last days. And for verse 2, for men shall be lovers of their own selves, covetousness, boasters, proud, blasphemers, disobedient to parents, unthankful, and unholy. Does that sound like a generation? Does that sound like the
yes.
generation that we are in right now? This presentation
yes,
of time? Is that what that sounds like itself? Do you know some people like this or know or look at the news and hear about do you know somebody that fit in this one of these categories outside
right.
of your church family, outside of your church folks? This is the kind of world, if you look at the government, you look at everything that's going on, from our president on down, you look at what's going on in the world surrounding us, you can find somebody that fits into one of these categories. You don't have to drill down
yes,
into that a lot because that's really self-explanatory. Verse 3.
Mm-hmm.
Without natural affection, truth breakers, false accusers, and contentment, that means no self-control, fear,
yep.
despises of those that are good. They don't like people that's good. They don't like
right.
people that's talking the right way. They don't like people that's acting
right.
the right way. They don't like people that's living the right way. That's what these kind of people, and this is what Paul is telling Timothy, beware.
That's right.
Because they're going to come your way. You're going to have to deal with
right.
them at some point, whether you're a pastor, whether you're an evangelist, or whatever your title may be, or whether just a regular member in the church, just a brother, sister, or just a lay member. You're going to have to come across some people on your job, wherever you are. You may come across people like this. So we have to be
That's
aware
right.
of these things. So, and this is what Paul is letting us know. Verse 4, he said, traitors, heady, high-minded. You know, the ones that, you know, and I know Pastor can attest to this, and probably everybody that's on the board can probably attest to this, that, you know, we know what's going on with these so-called bishops and pastors and, you know, men that's supposed to be men of God that get
right.
caught up in all this stuff. What's the guy's name that was it that's over the school? Is it Oral Roberts' son? Or one of them got caught up with, you know, his wife was having sex with the pool boy, and he's a prominent
yeah.
name. I can't think of his name, but you know that's
yeah.
another person that has a form of God that's talking God, that's talking Jesus. They can act
right.
it, they can talk it, but they can't be it because they deny the
right.
power. So that's a perfect example of somebody that you don't know what's going on behind the scenes, but you hear
That's
them
good.
Talk, you listen to them, and you try to, you know, look at their life, and their life seems to be according to what the Word says. But if you
uh-huh.
don't know the Word, and you don't have the power to discern this person, so what you're seeing, what is almost true, you're not
okay.
seeing the whole truth of a person. What you're seeing is almost true about a person. See, and that's what discernment, I believe discernment helps you to discern what is almost true. Not with just what's wrong
mm-hmm.
or what's not right,
right.
but it'll help you to see something that is almost true. And that's where
yeah.
and that's where I want to be. That's where I like to see everybody that loves the Lord, that loves Jesus, that's walking in the power and anointing of the Holy Ghost, know that if I can discern something to see if it truly is of God, if I can really discern somebody or a person or a situation or circumstance to know that, is this really of God? And that's what
right.
Paul is trying
right.
to get Timothy to understand here, is that you have to use the scriptures, you have to use the power to understand who is right and who is almost Right. Because the almost right people are going to be the ones that's going to try to get you. The almost right people are going to be the ones that's going to try to bring you down. The almost right, because see, they got to look right at some point. They got to look almost right or they can't get in. See, if they just come, if they just come all any kind of way, you can recognize us from a mile away.
Wow.
But these are the ones that's going to be almost right. Wow. They ain't all the way what they say they are.
Yes,
but
sir.
If you don't have the power to discern the almost right people, the ones that's going to get in where they can fit in and then talk about you behind your back.
Wow.
So we got to have that we got to have the form of godliness and the power.
Yes,
sir. We just can't have a form of godliness and deny the power. So get a little ahead of myself. Let's go over to verse 5, 2 Timothy, the 3rd chapter, verse 5. Having a form of godliness, okay? Having a form of godliness, but denying the power thereof. From such, turn away.
Yes, sir.
From such, turn away. Because, see, people that turn away from the power are people that don't want to suffer reproach. They want to look the part, and they want to act like they're the part. They want to look like a bishop. They want to look like a pastor.
Yes,
they want to look like a prophet. They want to look like they want to be a part of the fivefold ministry. They want all the things that come along with it. They want to try to fleece the people. They want to get everything they can because they're doing everything in their flesh, and they deny the power thereof. Well, why would they deny the power thereof? Well, the power represents truth. The power represents everything that is relevant to who Jesus Christ is and what he's about. And he's about the truth. He's about the whole truth and nothing but the truth, as we learn in the scriptures. He's about deliverance. He's about peace. He's about joy. He's about love. He's about all of these things that people turn away from. Because they want to have the form of godliness, but they want to deny the power thereof. Because, see, the power is going to make them act right. The power is going to make them talk right. And see, they don't want to do that.
Yes,
they want to do things of themselves. They want to be in themselves. They want to do things because they have their own agenda. They don't have God's agenda. They don't have Jesus Christ's agenda. They have their own agenda. So that's why they deny the power. They deny the power. Because the power is that act right stuff. That power is going to make you do and talk. When you submit to the power, when you actually humbly submit yourself to the power of Jesus Christ and everything that he represents, everything, fruits of the Spirit falls up under the power. Love, joy, everything falls up under this. Deliverance. Yoke destroying, deliverance falls up under the power. And so when you humbly submit yourself, when we humbly submit ourselves to Jesus, to the Word, to the power, then we are able to be used by him. And it's easy to try to fit our spirit with that spirit, with his spirit.
Mm-hmm.
And so we can easily discern what's all the way right. And what's almost it because people, blood, when we don't understand what it means to discern a spirit through the Holy Ghost, not of our flesh, because you can't do it in your flesh, but when you have the Holy Ghost operate in bound in you, you should, and when you have a relationship with Jesus, he allows you to see things in the spirit realm that other people that deny the power can't see.
That's right.
They can't see it, what you see. They can't hear what the Spirit is telling you because they've denied the power, but you submitted to it. And that's where I want us as a collective body of believers all over the world, all over the land, Praise Tabernacle Church, every church that we affiliate with, our pastor, everybody to understand that, I cannot deny the power. I just can't. That's why churches are falling off, pastors are being exposed, bishops are being exposed,
right.
Because
right.
And before the whole world, because they walk in a form of godliness.
Mm-hmm.
Those are because they almost right. They're not all
right.
They almost
right.
So because I'm almost right, I can trick you, I can manipulate you with my religious jargon, and you'll believe it if you don't understand what the word is saying, and that's what Paul is trying to get Timothy to understand and believe. Don't fall subject to this stuff. Don't fall subject
right.
to the okie doke. Don't be hoodwinked and bamboozled by somebody with a form of godliness.
Yeah.
You look at all these TV evangelists and seeing what's going on. And I watch some of them too. I have watched some of them too. I don't anymore, but I have. And you know, and some of the stuff I seen a commercial today at lunch on break where they were talking about Miracle Spring Water. Send us a gift of $20 or whatever, and we'll send you some Miracle Spring Water. I said, oh my God. And Pastor, y'all, you can comment, you can jump in anytime. Elder Oliver, y'all can jump in at any time. Elder Blue, if you're on, you can jump in at any time. But send us $10 and we'll send you some Miracle Spring Water. Well, what makes your Miracle Spring Water, your water so miracle? What's so miracle about it? What you doing that I can't do? If we got the same Jesus, what you doing? What you doing to this water that makes it, you know, so good, so powerful? So, if that's the case, bro, you know, I got my house. I bought some testimonies. I've got this miracle spring water, sprinkled it on my mailbox. $10,000 came in the box the next day. Really? Come on. A form of godliness, tricking
that's
people,
right.
manipulating people to believe certain things. That's why Paul is telling Timothy here, you have to be aware of these things because they're going to come to pass. Because we're living in a day
that's
such as
right.
this. We're living in perilous
right.
times. These are the last days. These things are going to come to pass. So you have
yep.
to be aware. I got a note here. It says, I wrote a note down. It says, they will assume the form of godliness to take away their reproach, but they will not submit to the power of it to take away their sin.
Wow.
So I'm going to read that one more time. They will assume the form of godliness to take away their reproach. All right? That's disapproval. You know, they don't want God to
right.
disapprove of what they're doing, right? But they
right.
will not submit to the power of it to take away their sin.
Right.
See, that power, and let's read verse 5 again. Having a form of godliness, we're in 2 Timothy 3rd chapter, verse 5, having a form of godliness, but denying the power thereof, with such turn away.
Turn away.
That's
right.
Powerful.
Yes, sir.
That's powerful.
Yeah.
You know, because
Elder, you know, can I chop in real quick?
Yes, sir.
Well, I mean, you brought out such a great point. Hopefully, everyone can hear me clearly. What they were doing, and this is what you was just saying, they wanted God enough to forgive them of their sin, but they didn't want
uh-huh.
the power or the more of God to clean them and cleanse them from that sin.
Right.
In other words, I'm sorry for what I've done, but I'm going to do it again, but I'm sorry
mm-hmm.
this time. And that's where we got to get to the point where, you know, we can't make excuses for our sin. Yes, all have sinned and come short, but sin should not
mm-hmm.
be something that we practice. Sin should not be an
right.
everyday practice of a believer's life. It should not, I mean, there's a difference in the oops, you know, I made a mistake. And it's like when you're taking a test. If you make a mistake and you know you made it, you're going to use that. Most times in school, they didn't let you take tests with a pen. You generally took a test with a pencil, and back in my day, it was a number two pencil that had an eraser on the end. So if you made a mistake, you was able to turn that pencil over and use that eraser to wipe out the mistake you made and then make the correction. You didn't do that and continue to make the mistake, because you just continue to – it's no longer a mistake. It's just something that you are doing. So one of the key words I often listen to a guy. He was formerly of the Church of God in Christ, and they pretty much kicked him out. You might get some backlash on this. I know you got Kojic folk in your family. But his name is Earl Carter, Bishop Earl Carter. And they pretty much excommunicated him because of some preaching he was doing, a message he was preaching during the convocation. But one of his favorite words that he used now, and I listen to him all the time, is orthodoxy, which means to pretty much stay with the original tradition, stay with the original teaching, mm-hmm. the original training
right.
that you had received. So that's what Paul is telling Timothy. Look, don't let nobody else, I don't care what their title is, I don't care how many degrees or whatever they got before or after their name, you stick with what I have trained you. You stick with what I have
right.
taught you. And I know, let me stop, because I know you're going to get into that later on in the scripture.
Yeah.
So we got to remain,
yeah.
especially in this time, in these last days, of course, and Evan, you made a great point. In believing and saying that, you know, we and I agree with you, that time from when Jesus ascended, you know, I believe also the last days was, you know, those times was coming, because when Paul was telling Timothy this wasn't for not just for the future. This was for Timothy to understand right now. These are going to be people that's
right.
going to be infiltrating, trying to come in and bring in seducing spirits and trying to teach something different. And y'all know, even at Praise Tabernacle, we've had folks that done came in claiming to be evangelists or elders or whatever, and have just completely went against what we have taught and what we have stood for. And I've had to stand up and say, wait a minute, that ain't what we believe. In other words, that's not orthodoxy. That's not our original
right.
belief. That's not the tradition of our belief, and that's not what we believe the scripture supports. So, you know,
and Pastor, to just add on to what you said, because what we believe is the word. It's the original word. It's not
yes,
that.
Sir.
And see, what's happening is what people want to do the next, they want to change the word up. They want to
yes,
manipulate
sir.
The word, teaching it and preaching it for what it's actually saying, and let the Holy Ghost,
right.
all right, nurture the
right.
word in you. So they want to teach it and preach it from their flesh. I mean, anybody can read this word, whether you're Holy Ghost filled or not. But it's what the
right.
Holy Ghost develops this word. It's how the Holy Ghost develops this word in you, where you can mature and grow from it, from what you read
That's
and
right.
understand, and bring revelation to you, to your spirit man,
That's
to
right.
your mind, so that you can understand what this word is saying to you as a believer. You know, and so that's right on point, because, you know, what you say the word was orthodoxy? Is that the word?
Yes, sir. Orthodox, yeah. Orthodox, orthodoxy. Yes, sir.
Yes. So that's going away from, that's a good point. I like that word. That's going away from what the original scriptures are
right.
saying.
Right.
You know, so people, when you hear people say, well, the word don't quite mean it that way.
Yeah.
I'm like, what?
Yeah.
But that's what it says.
Yep. Yeah.
Yeah. You know, let's go over to verse 10. And I want to get to what Paul was talking about. In the first five verses, we read about, he was talking about the coming of apostasy. And when we develop that, the apostasy means the abandonment or renunciation of a religious belief. And so we believe what the word says. All right. So Paul is warning Timothy of the coming apostasy against the church. So, verse 10, but thou hast fully known my doctrine. See, now this is Paul getting ready to tell him, look, but thou hast fully known my doctrine, manner of life, long-suffering, charity, and patience. Verse 11, persecutions, afflictions, which came unto me at Antioch, Iconium, and Lystra. What persecutions I endured, but out of them all the Lord delivered me. And this is what Paul is telling Timothy. You've seen my life. You've seen what I've endured. You've seen what I succumbed to. You've seen what I went through. You've seen me go through it over here in Antioch. You've seen me go through it in Iconium. You've seen me go through it in Lystra. What persecutions I endured. You've seen it. But out of them all, the Lord delivered me. Because he didn't succumb to the form of godliness that people had. He could see it. Even though he went through what he did not succumb to any of that stuff. And this is what he wants Timothy to understand. That when you have to stand on what you believe and what you know is true, you're going to have to stand on the power of Jesus Christ and everything that the power represents, everything that is relevant to who Jesus Christ is and what he's about, all the fruits of the Spirit, the anointing, the delivering power, the yoke destroying, the burden bearing, everything that the power represents, that is Jesus Christ. We got to stand on that. We got to trust in that. We got to believe in that. And if anybody comes any other way, it's like coming through the back door, a thief in the night. I can't remember exactly how that goes, but that's how they are.
Sure.
They're not speaking the word in spirit and in truth. So we have to understand.
Right.
And recognize, as Paul is telling Timothy and also telling us that read it, I have to understand and recognize when people come another kind of way. Other
right.
than what the word is saying.
Right.
Amen. So let's go over to verse 12. Yea, and all that will live godly in Christ Jesus will suffer persecution. All. Not some, not a little bit, but all that will live godly in Christ, Jesus, shall suffer persecution. Because there's going to come a time you're going to have to confess what you believe.
That's right.
And it can mean persecution or not. But will you still confess Jesus as your Lord and Savior?
Yes, sir.
For all of us that confess it. Because it's going to come a time, at some point in our lives, we're going to have to confess it. Verse 13, but evil men and seducers shall wax worse and worse, deceiving and being deceived.
Yes, sir.
Evil men. So women in there, too. Gonna be seducing spirits. They're going to wax worse and worse. Imposter, they're going to go bad, and that's what worse and worse means. They're going to go bad, they're going to get worse, they're going to get worse, if worse is a word, they're going to get worse, and they're going to deceive people, and they're going to get deceived. They're going to have to suffer, they're going to go downhill fast.
Yes, sir.
They're going to go downhill fast. And you can see how a lot of these pastors and people in leadership positions throughout the world, regardless of what their position is, are being exposed.
Right.
Are being exposed.
Right. Because
they've been seducing people. They've been tricking people because they have a form of godliness and denying the power.
Yes,
so
sir.
Everything, when they deny the power, they work everything in their flesh.
Yes, sir.
So they deny the power, but I want to look the part, I want to act the part, but I don't want to be the part. So I'm gonna deny the power, because the power gonna make me, it's gonna convict me. The power is gonna make me, you know, act right and talk right. So I'm gonna deny that.
Right.
But I want to try to reap the benefits of being in this position. And if I can seduce the people and make them believe certain things because they don't quite understand the word. See, I'm almost
right.
I'm almost true, but they don't know that. Because they don't know how to discern who I am.
Yep.
They don't know how to know what's true and what's almost true. So I can trick them and manipulate them. So we have to discern who these people are. And it could be anybody. It could be anybody that you know. It don't have to be a person in leadership. It don't have to be a person with a title. It could be anybody that say they love God. And be careful with that, too. What God you love? They ain't bringing up Jesus' name. I seem to question that.
Yep.
I seem to question that. Verse 14, we're almost done. But continue thou in the things which thou hast learned. And this is Paul telling you.
Yes, sir.
I want you to continue in the things which thou hast learned and has been assured of, knowing of whom thou hast learned them.
Yes,
continue. Thou in the things which thou hast learned, continue to do the things that you've been taught. Continue to do the things that you've learned through the scriptures that you've learned from me.
Yeah.
And that's what we got to be. We got to be. We can't just fall for anything and everything. If it's not backed up by the scriptures, I got a problem with it.
Yes, sir.
If you can't take me in the word and show me what it say in the word, then I got a problem. And everybody should be that way. I don't care who's listening tonight, wherever you are. If somebody's talking to you sideways and they can't give you a scripture or they give you part of a scripture and it don't sound right, ask them to show you what it says that's in the word.
Yep.
Back it up with scripture. If you can't back it up with scripture, then we're going to have a short conversation.
Yep.
You know, I want you to show me where does it say it in the word.
Yeah. You know?
Teach me something if I don't know it. But you have to teach me through the word. You just can't tell me anything.
Yep. Elder
Taylor.
This
is what Paul is telling. Yes, sir. Go ahead.
And alone, just in the word, but make sure it's in the right context. Okay, make sure it's in this right, proper context and not your manipulation and not your twisting of the scripture. You know, you got cults that started out, people like Jim Baker and Jones, should I say.
Yeah.
Sound, but that power, not the godly power, but that other power got to their head. And some kind of way, because of demonic spirits, they left off. They left the tradition of what Paul is telling Timothy to be aware of. So, as you stated in the beginning, not only was this called back then, but we can even see it throughout the church age, so the beginning of the church, all the way to where we're at now. So, you know, you got pastors now, and as you stated, so much stuff is coming out. You know, I am a pastor, and not just that, I'm a leader, I'm a husband, I'm a father. When I hear this stuff about others, man, it makes me examine my life even more. You know, I don't want to probably be doing anything that, and that's going to bring first my wife and then to my children and then to the church that, you know, the fellowship, you know, the church that I'm a part of. And ultimately to bring shame to God, make God enemies, you know, blaspheme or say, you know, opposite of what why I'm supposed to be here or why I'm supposed to be doing what I'm doing. So we have to be careful not to manipulate the scripture, not to twist the scriptures, to make it say something to fit us, and we go into what they call eisegetical or eisegesis, meaning you putting your own your own meaning into it instead of bringing out or exegeting the scripture, bringing out from its original meaning. So we got people, man, that done, you know, a lot of folk, especially depending on how you grew up, it was so much bondage, it was so much you can't do, you can't do, you can't do, you can't do. You're like,
right.
Where y'all get that from? Where y'all, how did y'all, I'm telling you, man, you know, you can't wear earrings. And I was just reading and looking the other day where God, you know, God made earrings for Israel. He put earrings on the children of Israel. But so how do we go from that to, well, you a whore if you got this? I'm like, Lord, we done bound folk up so much to, you know, and Lord, most of these bishops and pastors, they had women looking like that and doing, binding the women up, but then we find out they were sleeping with them, you know, or bishop got a child out of wedlock. Wait a minute now. You've been preaching all this and telling everybody how they should live, but now this little child is yours, that little child. Now, not only are you sleeping with the women of the church, but all these little boys, these little armor bearers you got, you sleeping with the little boys too. So, you know, I'm just like, you know, that's enough. All right, go ahead, Elder. I just wanted to say that.
And that's them having that form of godliness, you know, and they're denying everything else. That's why they're doing what they're doing, you know. And you got people that's attracted to somebody that can speak well, and they're a preacher, and they wear nice suits, and they drive the nice cars, and they speak well. They have good oral skills and gifts, and they talk the right game. And so that draws a lot of women to them, or men, or whatever it is, to them. And they feel like, I got that kind of gift. See, they ain't operating, thank you, Holy Ghost. They ain't operating in no anointing. They operate strictly in the gift that are without repentance. So now they just operating, they just going on the gift. And the gift have allowed them to have a form of godliness, or they use the form of godliness to operate in the gift. No anointing, nobody's being delivered, nobody's being healed, nobody's being set free, but I'm steady taking from you. I'm steady seducing you. You know, and everything you said, it was right on point. And I got a point here. It says, it is not enough to know what is good, but the most continue in it and preserve in it until the end. See, it's not enough to know what is good. All right? It's not enough for us to know what is good, but we must continue in knowing what is good. You can't fall off.
Yes, sir.
And we have to persevere in it until the end. And whenever that end is, we have to persevere in it. We have to continue in what is good, what is right, and what we've been taught. It's like Paul is trying to get Timothy to understand. You know, he told Timothy, you know, you've seen what I've gone through. You know what I've taught you. You've seen me being persecuted in different cities. You've seen, but God delivered me out of them all. I didn't submit to those that were persecuting me, because I know who Jesus Christ is in my life. And you've been taught the same thing, Timothy. So you have to know that apostasy is coming to the church.
Right.
Apostasy is coming through the people. So you have to understand and stand firm on what you know. Stand firm on the truth that you know. Stand firm on what I've taught you and showed you through the Word of God. You have to stand on these things in order to combat the enemy that comes with apostasy, trying to turn away from what you've been taught, trying to turn the people away from what they've been taught, from the original word, from the things that I've showed you. So, you know, and you know, Pastor, today, in today's time, where we are right now, in this dispensation of time, it's easy to be disconnected now, because we're not in fellowship like we used to be.
Yes, sir.
It's easy to fall off now. It's easier.
Right.
So now is the time where you got to really test your mettle, really see who you are
right.
in Jesus. Because it's easier, you know, to fall off because nobody's really going to church anymore. Nobody's really
yep.
in fellowship. Yep. Nobody's really designated to do certain things in the building. So this
right.
is like a real
right.
test for everybody to be committed to Jesus on their own.
That's
without
right.
a lot
right.
of people around them.
Yep.
You know? And so
right.
that's what we gotta be strong in that matter. It's real easy to fall off. Right? So we got
right.
a couple more verses then we'll be done. Verse 15. And that from a child thou hast known the holy scriptures, which are able to make thee wise unto salvation through faith from a child. You know, from a babe in Christ. We've known. You know. And a lot of us been knowing the word, but we ain't had no power to bring that word to life in us, to mature in us, to grow in us. You know. And we didn't really have the relationship with Jesus Christ that we needed to have in order for the word to mature and touch us, you know, spiritually and mentally. Where we can grow in the things of God. All
right? Right.
And verse 16, all scripture is given. This is good. All scripture, not some, but all scripture is given by inspiration of God and is profitable
mm-hmm.
for doctrine, for reproof, for correction, for instruction in righteousness. All words. And if men and women of God that's in leadership position, if they cannot identify with this one verse right here, you got to check them. If they feel like they cannot give sound doctrine or reproof or give correction or instruction in righteousness, something is wrong. Something is wrong. Everybody that's listening, hear me when I say that. Something is wrong. And we have to hold each other accountable. You know?
Yep.
And so I like this letter that Paul sent to Timothy. Young pastor, you know, he's teaching him and showing him how to fight through the word and those things that he has learned. And the type of people that was going to try to come against the church and the type of people that they were. And he described
right.
them as the people that they were going to be. Verse 17, the last verse, that the man of God may be perfect, thoroughly furnished unto all good works.
And sure.
All good works.
Talk about it.
That a man
right.
of God may be perfect, thoroughly furnished to all good works.
Right.
That's what we want to be. What we want to be. And it makes it easier. It makes our warfare easier. Don't mean we're not going to have warfare. Don't mean we're not going to have persecution. Don't mean that we're not going to go through things. And it doesn't mean that people with seducing spirits and try to come and manipulate and control us doesn't mean that that's not going to happen, that they're not going to. But the scripture says, I believe over in Isaiah, that no weapon that is formed against us shall prosper. So we have to understand that if we do the things that we need to do as a God, Christ-believing person, filled with the Holy Ghost, that we can get through, we can recognize all of these things that Paul is trying to get Timothy to recognize, that it's coming, apostasy. People trying to get turned from their original belief in something to renounce what you believe. People may try to talk to you and get you off of your mark, you know, get you out off the gate, so to speak, to get you to, you know, second guess what you know is true, to get you to second
right.
guess what you know that is real.
Right.
You know, and they'll bring stuff to you. Well, if Jesus was all of this, why is all this going on in the world today?
Mm-hmm.
You know, and when I get that, I said, because it's his will.
Yep.
And I just leave it just like that. It's his will. You know?
Yep.
He's trying to get not only the church, but the world to recognize what's going on.
Right.
And in order for us to really come back to Jesus the way that he requires us to come back, he allows things to happen.
That's right.
That's what I believe. And he allowed things to happen over in Exodus to the people in Egypt.
Yep.
To get his point across and to show his power through Moses.
That's right.
You know, so we have to know, you know, who we are, you know, as Timothy had to understand, you know, as a pastor, I got to be able to discern. I can't just have a form of godliness. I got to have the power too. And I got to teach the people right. I got to treat the people right.
Yep.
As a man of God, you know, I can't forget where I come from. I can't forget what I was taught by my leader and Paul that taught me.
Right.
So hopefully this word hit somebody somewhere. It hit me. You know, God gave me this a couple of weeks ago. But, you know, we just got to understand who we are and what we know is true, what we know is right, and what we're willing to stand on to be the truth. And that and the power that Paul is talking about in verse 5, you know, having the form of godliness and denying the power thereof, that's when they, you know, that power it's just everything that encompasses Jesus, everything that Jesus encompasses, you know, everything that he encompasses, you know, because we get the Holy Ghost, his peace, his love, his joy, his deliverance power, the anointing, fruits of the Spirit, all of these things are wound up in what he represents. I'm going to say this, do you have any more notes? If anybody ever come against across the word proselyte is a person who has converted from one religion to another.
To another, right. Good point.
Yeah. That's what a proselyte is.
Yeah.
And if somebody tries to convert you, you know, to something that you know is right, something that you know is true, over to something that, you know, that is not, that is almost true, you know, that is almost true, not quite right, but it's almost right, you know, that's what you can consider yourself being. So, but that's it for Bible study as far as I'm concerned tonight, Pastor. That's all I got. You know, and I just want to tell people that, you know, if you don't know the Lord Jesus, let's get to know him. You know, ask the Lord to just come into your heart, come into your mind, confess that I'm a sinner. Lord God, I need to be saved by your grace. I need you to come into my heart, make my heart of stone into a heart of flesh, that I can walk after you, Jesus, that I can serve you, Lord, that you can become my Lord and Savior. And that I can do the things that you have called me to do. And I confess with my mouth and I believe with my heart that you died on the cross. And that on the third day that God rose, the Father rose you up. And I believe those things. And by faith, I believe that I am saved. If you said that, if you could confess that, if you've done that, consider yourself a member of the household of faith. And do the things that in this word, you know, continue to follow along with us. Continue to follow along with Praise Tabernacle Church. This is Omar Zachary, the leadership team. If you don't have a church that you follow, continue to follow with us.
Yep.
Share, comment with Elder Oliver. for those that's listening all over the world. Send him your comments if you think about the Bible studies and the services that you hear on Thursdays and Sundays with Praise Tabernacle Church. So we'd like to hear from you. We'd like to know who's listening,
right. You
know, who's getting fed, who's liking what they're hearing, because it encourages us as well to continue to press on in the things of God. Because we love what we do. I think I can speak for my pastor as well. We love what we do.
Yes, sir.
We enjoy what we're doing. And we like to share the gospel, the good news of Jesus Christ, to anybody that will listen, to anybody that will hear, to anybody that wants a word from God. And we just believe that to be true. And so we just thank again, Elder Oliver, for all the work that he does with Blog Talk Radio and getting Praise Tabernacle blasted all over the world and his word blasted all over the world. We just thank him for that and his beautiful wife for what they do for Praise Tabernacle Church. And on behalf of my pastor, Bishop Omar Zachary, I thank you, sir. I give you glory. I give God glory for you. You know that I love you and your family, and I appreciate all that you do and the things of God that you share with us at Praise Tabernacle Church. And I'm going to turn it over to you, Pastor, and you can close us out.
All right. God bless you, Doc. Great, great teaching. I tell you, we can go with that for the next till New Year's, and it'll still be just as effective. I was reminded before we closed that Paul records in one of the other books, one of the other chapters, see how even before Paul really got a hold of Timothy, he reminded Timothy and expressed thanksgiving of what Timothy's grandmother and mother, Eunice and Lois, had already instilled in him about the faith. And Paul just built on that. So Timothy already had a strong foundation of faith, a strong foundation of training from his mother and grandmother. And I think that's so important, especially in today's time, being that, as Elder Taylor stated, we're not really coming together like we used to. Is more or less, you know, God, I feel God is saying, get your own house in order. So many years we have, from the pulpit to the door, we've played a part, we've acted, we've been in camouflage. We are one way in the church, and we are a total different way at home. And I believe in my heart, God has allowed this to happen for us to really get our homes together, husband and wife, parents and children, siblings, you know, let's work on ourselves, because a strong family is what contributes to having a strong church. If you got a strong church, you have a strong community. You got a community, you have a strong city, and it goes on and on. So we've been so knowingly how to have church, and our children can't stand the church. You know, we got bishops and pastors. They know how to have church. They know how to hoop. You know, they know how to do all that, but their wife don't like them. They don't even sleep in the same bed. Get to the church and speak to everybody, but go home and don't speak to nobody. So it's a problem with that. That should be a problem. And, you know, the pastor, he's a good father to all the children of the church. You know, the children of the church call him daddy, call him granddaddy, but his own children can't stand him. And that's a problem. It's a problem with that. That is a problem. Your first ministry should be at home. I coach, Ella Taylor, you can agree, you know this. We both coach football, basketball.
Yeah.
Baseball, one of the things I look at in a coach is if he has kids, I want to first see if his kid can play. If your kid can play, then I'm like, okay, well, you can coach Zach. You can coach Macho. You can coach my children. But let me see your kids. And the reason why I do that is because I don't mind you getting on my child if I can see that you're getting on your child. If I can see that your child is a playmaker and where you have spent time in helping develop your child, then I don't mind you really coaching or saying whatever, you know, to my child. So, and it's like that in the church. We got so many, you know, of the saints' kids that can't stand the church, you know, can't stand the church because of what parents have done. And I'm just grateful to God that out of five of my children, all of them love the Lord. My 18-year-old, God has just blessed her. She's delaying going to college for right now, but everything that she's wanting to major, opening doors for her. She just started her new job on yesterday. So, I mean, you know, and anybody that know me know how I am with my wife and children. And God has just blessed me, and I'm grateful, even with the seven-day family prayer that's been going on now for, I think, 3 weeks. You know, it has brought my family closer. It's still teaching my children because I got an 18-year-old and also got a 2-year-old. So I'm even teaching my 2-year-old and training him now. Like I can imagine Eunice and Lois trained Timothy back then on the ways of God. So quick announcement. So Evan Taylor, great, great teaching as always. There's never a doubt about you and Elder Bluett, Elder Oliver, Evangelist, never a doubt. Y'all make me look good. That's just the truth. Y'all make me look good. So thank y'all so much. Thank you so much.
Yes, sir.
Talk to Elder Oliver, I think it was yesterday. He can highlight some if he wanted to. And I told him, I said, well, when can we make the big announcement? When would be a good time to make it? I don't want to say anything beforehand regarding the church and regarding Chaos Blog Talk Radio and where we're going, the doors that God is opening for us. I told him I didn't want to be premature and announce it beforehand. He's like, no, Pastor, go ahead. Make the announcement. Everything is pretty much confirmed. We just need to get the specific date in which we're going to do it. So I said, all right. Well, you know, the Bible said he was trying. He did everything he could last night to hold from announcing it. But we just want to let it be known that Praise Tabernacle, we will officially be airing in the country. I guess it's the country. I've been out of school for a while, of London. I think ain't that in England? London, England. Like I say, I've been out of school for a while. But within the next few weeks or so, within the next few weeks, we will officially, we just got to decide whether it's going to be our Thursday night service or our Sunday morning service. But God has officially opened the door for us to be on the radio in London, England. So we've been saying we all across the world and all over the country. And I mean, it's happening. It is happening. And I just want to tell you, we are so excited about what God is doing. And anybody that can't see what God is doing, especially for our church right now, I don't know what you're looking at. I really don't. I don't know what you. Yeah, I don't know. But God has, and we're grateful. We're going to be talking about it a little more. I think they're going to be doing some ads and different things like that. But we will officially, within the next 3 weeks, 3 to 4 weeks, we will officially be launching our radio program. Our services will be launching in London, England. So London, we're on the way. Praise Tabernacle Church is on the way to London, England. So we're so grateful. Elder Oliver, did you want to say anything else about that before I give the benediction tonight?
Yes, can everybody hear me? If you can hear me, we're going live. And it's just a matter of details and promotion. In the next couple of weeks, it'll probably be a Sunday morning service that will be live on England just because they're 5 hours ahead of us. And it was discussed earlier today that it seemed like one Sunday, and as soon as I get with the pastor and sit down with his schedule, will be the best Sunday. And then we're going to promote it a little bit too because Praise Tabernacle is actually going into London. We're going to be broadcasting live right then and there through Blog Talk. So I'm excited about it. They're excited about it. And again, I can't explain how stuff happened. We just gonna roll with it. And I just told the pastor to be ready and tell the family to be ready because after all this is over with, I don't know what doors is opening up for who, what, where, why. We just going to be obedient and just continue to do what God has called us to do. So, yeah, we going to London in a few weeks, and there'll be a lot of promotion about it. So just keep on doing what we've been doing, Praise Tabernacle. And, again, just keep praying and praying, because as soon as this is over with, I'm telling you, doors is going to open up, and seeds are being planted now. So I don't know what the Lord got in store for the bishop or in the family, but we're going to be in London real soon. They're going to be getting ready for us. So if you hear me talking about we going to London, that's what I'm talking about. We going to London. So the service will be broadcast live over there. It's either going to be on the radio over there, or they're going to broadcast it right from the church. We don't know that yet. We're still working out those details, and the engineers is going to be working on that for me as well, so they get a good signal. And it's just like any other service, but we will be live over in London, so the word will be preached over there. That's all I got, Pastor. And I couldn't hold it yesterday. I almost let it out the bag, but I let you go ahead and get it out first. But yeah, going to London. I may have to go get me a bow tie.
Well, God bless you, my brother. I tell y'all what, I'm so grateful and honored and just appreciative to God for the doors that He's opening for us. Small church, I've said this from day one, we have a small ministry, a small church, but a huge ministry. And God is fulfilling that. He's fulfilling the promises. Small church, but a huge ministry. And we are officially on Facebook. The other night on our Facebook Live service, we had some folks from Africa and India that were tuning in and responding and commenting and things. Another pastor out of some part of Africa was responding and different things like that. So I'm just grateful to God. He took a little hood boy like me that don't mind letting folks know about His Son. And I tell you what, heaven and earth is going to pass away, but God's word is going to stand. So Praise Tabernacle, yes, keep praying for us. Let's stay on the wall. Let's stay on the wall. And as Elder Taylor said, let us continue to not just have form of godliness, but let us have the power thereof. We want the power. And anybody that know Elder Taylor's preaching, he talks about the power. He's got the power. So that's a message he's famous for. I got the power. I got the power. So, amen. Before these Steelers fans backslide, let me say this final prayer, because I'm dealing with Elder Oliver and Elder Taylor, both Steelers fans. Yeah, let me say this final prayer. I don't know if Elder Bluette, I don't know if he was able to get on. I didn't hear anything from him tonight. And I think Evangelist Stanton did tell us that she would have to go. And I don't know if my precious wife, I don't hear anything from my precious wife. I know she had to take Macho to his baseball practice, and Zach's game is getting ready to start. So, yeah, Sister Kenya, that's right. He will do it. The saints are responding now. I see it. Yeah, won't he do it? Yes, God will do it. And we're so grateful. Y'all remember this. If God be for us, the who don't matter. The who don't matter. Father, we thank you. We appreciate you. We glorify your name. We thank you for another Bible study. We thank you for this powerful, simple but yet powerful message. Teaching brought to us by our leader on tonight, Elder Taylor. God, we pray that you will continue to strengthen him and his lovely wife and his children in the name of Jesus. We thank you for the team. We thank you for Praise Tabernacle Church. We thank you for our Chaos Blog Talk listeners. We thank you for our Facebook viewers. We thank you that even throughout this pandemic, you have shown yourself strong and mighty in our lives, and we are grateful. And God, before we leave on tonight, we just want to pray. We ask that you would continue to touch our brother, Elder Leroy Stokes, and his wife, touch his family. We ask that you would touch his body right now in the name of Jesus. Your word declares that you was wounded for our transgressions, bruised for our iniquities. The chastisement of our peace was upon you, and with your stripes we are healed. that's not just a spiritual healing, but it's also physical. And we ask that you would continue to touch Elder Stokes' body in the name of Jesus. We ask that you would continue to touch Sister Asha Bluett in the name of Jesus. And also, God, we ask that you would continue to strengthen and touch Sister Barbara. Continue to touch her body. We thank you for the future. My own nephew, God, we ask that you would continue to strengthen him and touch his body, touch his mother and his father and his siblings. And God, if there's any that we missed on tonight, we pray that you would touch them. For you know all, you already know the situation. As we leave this place, but never your presence, to meet again on Thursday night, we pray now that Matthew 28, verses 19 through 20, tells us to go ye therefore and teach all nations, baptizing them in the name of the Father and of the Son and of the Holy Ghost, teaching them to observe all things whatsoever I have commanded you. And lo, I am with you always, even until the end of the world. Good night and God bless you.